Good morning, Your Honors. If I may reserve 3 minutes, please.
Very well.
Thank you. May it please the court and counsel. I'm Diana Lundy, and I represent Ms. Coker on her appeal from a Relge decision. Your Honors, the question in this case is relatively simple, yet at the same time complicated. The goal of the traffic code is to promote safety on the roadways. Our Supreme Court said in State versus Morales that we construe the meaning of statutes based on the totality of the statute, and we don't read them in a vacuum. In this case, we have two Court of Appeals decisions that appear to be at odds. We have State versus Huffman and State versus Jones. The Jones case endorsed a totality of the circumstances approach when reviewing the issue of whether or not a vehicle leaves its lane of travel.
Under Section 140, not 670.
Correct.
Okay.
The court applied 140. The critical part of that is that the court applied 140 to fog line crossings, which is exactly what we have in this case. In that respect, the court deviated from the analysis in State versus Huffman, which applied a different statute. The state argues here that a different statute should also apply, which is in contrast to the Jones decision. The state argues that strict liability should apply, applying 670, which addresses, quote-unquote, wheels off the roadway. However, the Jones court chose not to do that. The Jones court endorsed a totality of the circumstances approach that is the more appropriate means of analyzing these questions because it addresses circumstantial conditions. It allows for changes in topography, the presence of other motorists, the traffic danger posed, etc.
Well, there's no dispute here, factually, that the wheels of the vehicle driven by your client went over the fog line for a distance of at least 200 feet, correct?
Correct.
And there doesn't appear to be any dispute that the trial court did not strike that. The district court did not find that your client came to a complete stop after going this 200-foot distance over the fog line, correct?
She did not come to a complete stop, correct.
Okay. So the real question here is whether 670 applies or 140 applies.
Correct.
Okay. So why, given the reading of 670, is there any question about totality of circumstances?
Well, it appears that 670 was really drafted to address a different set of circumstances. And the trial court...
Different from what? These?
Yes. There
Why?
Because there is a qualitative difference between using an inappropriate area for lane travel and a minor deviation from one's lane. It would be an absurd result for a vehicle to not be in violation of the lane travel statute by crossing over a skip line into a lane where other traffic is expected to be, but violating the same statute for crossing over onto an unoccupied shoulder where traffic is not expected to be. That would be an absurd result. And the problem with the Huffman decision is that the court didn't take account of the qualitative difference. And the wheels off the roadway statute was designed to address, and the way I know this is because if you look at what the exceptions are, the statute was designed to address individuals using the shoulder area as a passing lane or a through lane of travel. The exceptions in the statute allow traffic to do so when it's allowed by the legislature in terms of it being clearly marked, partly probably because of Washington's individual topography and mountain passes, etc. There are areas in the state of Washington where shoulder driving is expressly permitted. The fact that that is an exception to the wheels off the roadway statute indicates that the statute was designed to prevent shoulder driving. That is not the same issue as a minor deviation from one's lane. And the reason why the wheels off the roadway statute doesn't include the as nearly as practical language is because it's already included in 140. 140 requires drivers to maintain their vehicle lane as nearly as practical, any lane. One could say that the Huffman decision was correct in the sense that it would be reasonable to conclude that traveling over the center line is presumptively and inherently dangerous, and therefore, it's never practical to do so. And under 140, reach the same conclusion. In this case, we're talking about a fog line. We're talking about the same type of line involved in State versus Jones. we're talking about the same type of line, presumably, addressed in State versus Prado, which was an exit dividing lane, normally which is a white solid line. Even the Huffman Court, which came out before State versus Jones, acknowledged that 140 applies to skip lines and fog lines. So in those circumstances, it would be inappropriate to apply 670, which is designed to prevent a different traffic violation, when 140 clearly applies to these set of circumstances.
So is the argument that the district court erred as a matter of law in applying the wrong statute? I'm trying to figure out how we get to that.
The district court applied the appropriate statute. It was the superior court that reversed the district court. The district court found
but the state argued 670 to the district court.
And
looking in the ruling, it looks like the district court judge didn't really address that issue.
The district court rejected the 670 argument, basically characterizing it as the state's attempt to end around the Prado statute as an alternative. And the court said, which was incorrect, the court said that 670 only applies when all four wheels are off the roadway. That's not correct based on the statutory language. But as I said, the court was inartful, because what the trial judge was trying to express was that difference between using the shoulder of the roadway as a passing or through lane of travel and a minor deviation from one's lane in any other circumstance. And I think that's what the trial court was trying to express. There's also substantial out-of-state authority that supports the conclusion that 140 is the appropriate statute. And notably, one of the cases cited both in Prado and Jones was the Ohio case of State versus Gillette. And Ohio has a statute that's even more restrictive for prohibiting shoulder driveway than Washington does, yet it still found their equivalent of 140 to be the proper statute. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors. Chris Feil for the State of Washington. May it please the Court. RCW 4661-670 is plain and unambiguous. Its role within the statutory scheme is clear, and its relation to the rest of the traffic code is in harmony with the rest of the code. The undisturbed factual findings below at the district court show that Ms. Coker violated 670. I just want to be clear on the procedure and posture of this case and then kind of compare it to Jones, because I think that that's an important part of the analysis. In this case, which importantly, well, let me say, in January 2015, the defense filed their suppression briefing. They said Ms. Coker did not violate Section 140. The state immediately replied and said the statute that is an issue is 670, not 140. That was the state's briefing. That was the state's argument. The trial court ruled, as it did, that 670 did not apply in this case. 2 weeks after that decision is when Jones was published by this court. So this was not an effort. I mean, it should not be understood at all as an effort to avoid Jones, because Jones wasn't out yet. But in Jones, what happened was the district court and the Court of Appeals was never informed about 670. There was no allegation at the trial court briefing, in the appellate argument, or otherwise, that 670 applied to Jones. The court and the state were only determining whether the driving in Jones violated Section 140. As your honors know, Section 140 applies when a vehicle is traveling entirely on the roadway. The title of Section 140 is driving on roadways laned for traffic. And whenever a roadway has been laned for traffic, a vehicle must stay entirely within its lane as nearly as practicable. In Jones, which is analyzing that statute, in Prado, which is analyzing that statute only, the court said, well, given that as nearly as practicable language, we must assess the driving in the totality of the circumstances, giving consideration to safety, giving consideration to obstacles in the road, giving consideration to the total circumstances. Huffman looks at Section 100, which is the centerline case, and says there is no I want to read from a section of Huffman. I'm reading at page 105, because I think that the Huffman analysis applies equally to this case. It reads, Huffman also argues that because the overriding concern of all traffic statutes is for vehicle safety, Section 100 should be construed to permit vehicles to momentarily drift across the centerline in the absence of some perceived danger. The argument has no merit. The legislature did not create an exception in Section 100 for crossing the center line merely because a driver perceives that it's safe to do so. That's Huffman, and that is exactly our statute. 670 says a vehicle may not travel with one wheel or all of the wheels off the roadway. The roadway is defined by statute, as Your Honors have read repeatedly, as exclusive of the shoulder or sidewalk. So
is there no de minimis exception? If the wheel just drifted off for 2 seconds and came back, is the statute violated?
Yeah, that's right. It would be. If the wheel is all the way onto the shoulder, that is a violation of the statute. Now, the difference between 140 and 670 is if a vehicle is in, for instance, the right-hand lane, and it drifts onto the line itself, onto the fog line, but not onto the shoulder, then that vehicle has not stayed entirely within its lane. And so as long as the vehicle is on the fog line, the 140 applies. But once the vehicle gets onto the shoulder with one of its wheels or all of its wheels, there is no de minimis analysis. The legislature chose not to write in a safety exception for 670 because the legislature has other statutes defining which users might use the shoulder.
Doesn't 670 recognize that if there's an emergent situation to avoid a collision, you end up on the shoulder, that wouldn't be a violation of that statute?
Under 670, there are exceptions under 670. So if a vehicle is moving off of the shoulder for the purposes of stopping off the shoulder, then there is an exception there. In 1977, the legislature added some language to 670 allowing the Department of Transportation to create special driving on the shoulder zones for reasons with specially marked signage. There's some real requirements around that.
That reflect a dramatic policy difference between the risk of crossing the center line versus the risk of crossing the fog line?
Well, I think that there are different safety risks in one reflected. The legislature understands different safety risks in 100 from 670. I mean, in 100, there are cars that are, they're at least looking at each other, right? So there's some possibility that two operable vehicles could somehow avoid the collision, but obviously the vehicles are coming at each other, presumably at speed. In 670, the risks are vulnerable users. I mean, the shoulder is reserved for pedestrians. There's special statutory authority for that in RCW 4661250 for bicyclists. Bicyclists may use the shoulder. That's RCW 4661. I've missed that out. Disabled vehicles, though, have explicit statutory authority to use the shoulder, RCW 4637450. The slow-moving vehicles. Just, in fact, this legislative session, the legislature passed a driving under the influence of distracting electronic devices, and it is not a violation under the proposed statutory language, which I believe the governor has signed, to use your phone when you are pulled off the roadway.
Getting back to the language, the current language of 670, mm-hmm. Doesn't the exception require that the vehicle who goes over the fog line come to a stop?
Yes, and off such roadway.
And in this case, that fact did not exist, correct?
That's correct.
So the exception wouldn't apply?
Correct. No exceptions apply.
With regard to the stop, let's say the facts in this case were the driver drove 200 feet with the two wheels off and stopped.
Yeah.
That would not be a violation of the statute.
Stopped. Where did it stop?
Partially off the roadway.
Partially off, partially on the roadway?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that would violate 670. That might not violate 670. That might violate 140 or something. I mean, that might violate something else to be stopped in such a circumstance. I'm not sure.
The statute really doesn't say to stop lawfully off the roadway. You have
right.
To have
it does not.
Totally off the roadway.
Right.
It says stop.
The language of it says, except for the purpose of stopping off such roadway. So I suppose one could argue that if you have two wheels on the roadway and two wheels off the roadway, you've stopped.
It might be
off the roadway. Yes, right.
Traffic hearing whether the person was stopped.
Right. There might be some safety concerns that might justify some kind of police contact, but I'm not sure that that would explicitly violate six. It wouldn't violate the plain language in the way that Ms. Coker's driving violated the plain language of the statute.
Here that the officer initiated, the trooper initiated the contact before the driver had stopped her vehicle.
Yes. Right? Yeah, she drifts off the sideway. The finding of the trial court was that this is the trial court's findings that we're not disturbing, was that she drifted off the roadway, drove like that with two wheels completely off the roadway. There's two tire widths in between the fog line and her wheel. She drove that way for about 2.5 seconds, or about 200 feet. She drifted back onto the roadway, and then she stopped. So
there is no case that we could find that construes 670. Have you found one?
No, it does not appear.
So as a matter of public interest, it might be appropriate to make the result in this case known.
I do think that's appropriate, Your Honor. Yes. Are there any, I think that does conclude my argument, unless Your Honor's had any further questions. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, the court in State v. Jones was well aware of the Huffman decision when it made its ruling. Certainly could have followed that lead in addressing these statutes individually of one another, but chose not to do that, which makes the Huffman decision an anomaly in this entire line of cases, starting from the Ninth Circuit's decision in U.S. v. Collin, all the way to our court's decision in State v. Prado and State v. Jones. If the Huffman analysis applies to these circumstances, as the state suggests, then Jones wouldn't exist. The Jones decision takes account of the vulnerable users that the state is so concerned about in its totality of the circumstances approach, and that's why it's more appropriate and more reasonable. Drivers have a right to notice about what conduct is prescribed, and it is nonsensical for a driver, who is, by our motor vehicle code, required to drive in the right-hand lane, except in certain circumstances of passing, to permit that driver, if they're going to have some type of momentary deviation, to do so into lanes of travel and not onto the shoulder.
Let me ask you this. One of the principles that guide us in construing what the legislature says is to read the statute.
Yes.
670 doesn't have the term...
as nearly as practical.
Yes, and so I'm struggling with how this court would insert such language into the 670 statute.
Well, the court doesn't need to insert that language because, as I said, the statutes are read in parametry, and the statutes are read not in a vacuum but as an entirety, and it's already in 140. 670.
Yes, but the point is that when we compare two statutes and read them, as you suggest, we can't read them so as one statute conflicts with another, and it seems to me that inserting the language that you argue should be inserted in 670 violates that principle. So help me out here.
Sure. I disagree because 670 was not intended to address these circumstances. 670 was intended to address driving on the shoulder as a passing lane or through lane of travel. And the court talked about the exception. Interestingly, the commissioner in this case also found the exception of for the purpose of stopping applied, even though the vehicle never came to a complete halt because she exited the lane of travel for the purpose of stopping, as the trial court's findings indicate that all traffic around her was suddenly stopping. And the question that this court really has to address is, if the traffic safety code is supposed to be to enhance motorist safety, didn't Ms. Coker do the reasonable and safe thing to avoid a potential collision with sudden stopping around her? Isn't that what the motor vehicle code is designed to encourage? And the state's technical reading of 670 in a vacuum doesn't accomplish that purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.